Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TangoTangoTango. And this is the Bergen County, this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR W2CTT. Ah, that's sweetness to anybody who makes out a call like that. You hope to God that you never get actually someone to say, yes, I have an emergency. Maybe a priority, but not an emergency. Alrighty, with that in mind, let's see if we can roll this net forward. Okay, this net is open to all radio amateurs who are licensed to operate in 2-meter band in these here United States. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association runs this technical net as a conversation. It's a little different than other nets. We ask you to come with questions or comments about anything in amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computing, natural phenomena that relate to those subjects, any applications of these technologies. Pretty much gives you the ability to talk about anything you want as long as you can tie it back somewhat loosely to any of these subjects. To it, we also need your involvement, even if you don't have a question or comment for the net, because we may have a question or comment for you as a potential contributor to the net once we find out you're here. So we do need you to check in whether or not you have a question or comment for the net. But we do encourage any radio amateur licensed to operate on 2 meters to check in. This repeater is operated by the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. It's in Alpine, New Jersey, overlooking all of Metro New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and even all the way out to Pennsylvania in certain places. We hope that you'll join us. If you have trouble getting into the repeater on the RF side, you can get in on the Echolink side. So we encourage that access as well. Echolink access is available via K2 Foxtrot Juliet -L. That's Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet -L for link. So hopefully, if you'd like, you can come in that way. For at least the beginning part of the net, I should be on Echolink. I'm not there yet, but I am working on that. And so you can also text messages on Echolink, which is kind of cool. I think for the beginning part of that, at least for the first half hour or so, maybe longer, I'll be on Echolink. Then I might lose access to my connection. So let's see who's there. The way we check into this net is we check in with our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether or not we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Just have to mute my connection. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do something we don't normally do. We're going to start with the Echolink connections. K2ZC, will you have any questions or comments for us tonight, David? K2BAR W2TTT.
K2BAR, this is K2ZC. No questions, no comments. Thank you.
Connected K2ZC. Connected W2TTT.
We both came in at the same time. That's funny. All right, Dave, very good. Alrighty, while I'm also examining the Echolink window, I don't see any more stations on there at this time. So what we'll do is we'll go to other Kilo 2s. Any station whose call sign begins with Kilo 2, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, or both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR W2TTT.
K2BAR.
This is K2ZO. No comments or questions at this time.
K2 Okay, Jim, just to beat the dead horse one more time, the OCF dipole can be fed straight with coax, a one-to-one balun, a current balun if you want, and 41 feet on one side and 25 on the other, right?
The 40-meter one, yeah, that's about the right dimensions. And yes, you don't need anything real fancy. A one-to-one balun is fine, and just let the antenna tuner do the rest.
Okay, and for an 80-meter one, you just double it, right? Okay. I heard some interesting comments in the last net, but I just said, no, we're not doing that again. Are we doing that again? Anyway. All right, very good. Let's move on. All right. Any other Kilo stations, Kilo 2s?
2AMI, Tony. No questions, no comments, just listening.
Okay, Tony, K2AMI, I got you. I think you'll have an announcement, won't you?
Contest announcement, yes.
Yeah, we're going to put up that near the front of the net, Tony, because I know some of the guys were asking about that. All right, very good. Any other Kilo 2s?
Yeah, I'm here, Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta, and this is Bob here.
Hey, Bob, very good. Kilo Bravo 2, Kilo Delta 2, Kilo Bravo Delta. Very good, Bob. You're full quieting. Nice signal. I hope you're not standing in a hot spot in your garage, hoping you can stay warm for an hour plus, but whatever. It seems to be working for you. Will you have any questions or comments for the net tonight?
The one question I have is about a taking an old mobile analog cell phone antenna, which would be on the 800 megahertz band, and to convert that into a 2-meter/70-centimeter band antenna.
All right, we'll come back to that. All right, so I have you noted as having a question. Not a worry. We got you. So we got one comment, one question tonight. All righty. Any other kilos?
Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Echo Lima.
Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Echo Lima. Good evening. Name and whether you have questions or comments, please.
Name is Bob. No questions, no comments. I'm just on listening mode tonight, okay?
Fair enough, Bob. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Alpha Delta Charlie, Ed in Huntington.
Very good, Ed. Welcome aboard. Do you have any, Will, you have any questions or comments for the net?
I have a question on OCF.
Excellent. We have that expertise on board here. So we'll get to you in a little bit. Just hang tough with us a little bit. But that's great. I'm so glad you're here from Huntington, Long Island. That's great. Any other kilos? Or how about those whiskey stations?
W2JEK, Don, comment.
All right, Don, I got you. Have a comment. Welcome aboard. Who is the station at W with you?
WE2R, Charlie. No questions. Maybe a comment.
Okay, very good, Charlie. Welcome aboard again. I'm glad you have at least a comment, if not a question. Any other whiskeys? Okay, Alpha Station. Okay, stations whose call sign begin with the letter November. Okie doke. Well, any other stations, any call sign of any type, questions, comments, confusions, please call K2BARW2TTT with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above.
K2BAR, W2CH, Ray and White Plains. None of the above.
Good evening, Ray. Nice to hear you. Anybody else?
KC2NKU, Maryland from White Plains. No questions, no comments. But the XYL of W2CH.
Good evening, Maryland, as well. Okay, anybody else?
W2LCN, name is Rick. No questions, no comments.
KC2FC2, no questions, no comments.
Okie dokie, so we have W2LCN Rick, good evening to you, and KC2SQP Stewart, good evening to you. Anybody else? Alrighty, well, let's begin. Tony, K2AMI, you have the first comment. I'm going to throw it to Don after that, and then we'll get to the two questions we have, and then maybe Charlie's comment somewhere in between. As a starting point, we'll do that. K2AMI, K2B Air, W2TTT.
Q Gordon, W2TTT, and the net, this is K2AMI. Many of you know that this coming weekend, starting on Saturday at 2 o'clock and running through Sunday at 11 p.m., there's the ARL-VHF contest. And bear in mind, that's on frequencies that we are listening to now, the 2-meter frequencies, as well as others. There will be stations operating from Barra. We're looking to accumulate a number of Barra stations so we do get a club participation score. But we'll be operating on the FM and the sideband mode, but you can check the modes in the ARL directory. But basically, if you can just get on the 2-meter mode, and listen on a couple of basic calling frequencies. We'll be listening on 146.5800 simplex, no tone, 146.5800. Again, with simplex signals, no tone. That's on the 2-meter band. And on the 440 band, the calling frequency is 446.000. 446.000. Again, no shift, no tone. If you could just get on those two bands, it would help develop a score for many people. There will be stations listening on the sideband portions of 2 meters, which is at 144.200. On the 432 band, portion of the 70 centimeter band, which is 432.100 and up. And the 50 megahertz or 6 meter band at 50. Or approximately 200 and up. Around 125 is the calling frequency, and below that's sort of the X and CW. But sideband USB type transmissions are usually done around 50.200 and up. There also will be stations on 222.000 or 222.3500 if you've got simplex on 220 band. More information is available on the nets, on the websites of ARL, but from 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon until 11 o'clock Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. I'll be on only probably in the afternoons of those days, so listen for me or look for me. Thank you. Back to net.
Okay. Yeah, so let me just recap that. A little bit. The FM simplex on 2 meters is 146.58. The 220 frequency is 223.5, and the 440 frequency is 446. In general, you're better off starting at 146.58. And then moving to the other bands in coordination after working people on that first frequency. However, you could certainly give a listen and see what is out there, and you might hear something on 5.8 or 223.5 or 446. And then, what do you call it?
keep in mind that you can work a station again and again on the same band only if they change grids. So only if they go from, let's say, FN 20 to FN 30, or FN 20 to FN 21, etc. Single sideband activity is 144.200 and 50.125 and 222.100 and 432.100. Those are the people tune up and down from that, but mostly up, with the exception of 2 meters where you go up or down from the 200 frequency. So, that's really important. You send your logs to whom, Tony?
Our club logman is Phil Barber, WA2LXC, and it's WA2LXC@ARL.net. He's been very cooperative in compiling the logs and sending in Kevrillo formats and using the designation Bergen ARA, if you're a Bergen Amateur Radio Association member. Bergen ARA is the name of the club that the ARL recognizes.
Now, on the log, you have to actually indicate your club if it's going to be mustered in. If you send it to Phil Barber, he'll straighten it out if it's electronically sent in. But Whiskey Alpha 2 Lima X-Ray Echo. And you prefer it in Cabrillo format, but you can send them the regular text format as well. Whatever works for you. Just make sure that you send it to them and that you send them a note saying this is for the VHF contact, blah, 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 blah. Phil takes care of all that good stuff. Anybody else have a comment? Okay. So, Tony, do you want to put any more ribbons on this topic?
Tony had commented that because of personal experiences, I probably will be operating from 2 o'clock Saturday to about 5 or 6 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and the same sort of thing on Sunday. Late nights and early mornings are not in my lifestyle anymore.
I thought when you got older, you just didn't sleep as much at one time, and you had all this time to operate at wee hours of the morning and night.
Not in my lifestyle.
God bless you, Tony. All right. I just want to have your lifestyle at your age. That would be fine. That would be such an improvement over my family history. So that's excellent. All righty. Again, one more time. Anybody have any questions about the VHF contest this weekend? Okay. By the way, I don't know if anybody knows, but Phil Barber is also a well-known local scout leader and a heck of a mentor to many of us over the years. His sons are Eagle Scouts. And they're now in their 30s. Maybe he's got one of his 40 now. I don't know. Anyway, I've only met one. But anyway, very good. And he's got a daughter who's a Gold Girl Scout, too, actually, now I think about it. All righty. The next one is Don, W2JEK. Your question, sir, or comment, I should say.
Okay, K2BIR and Annette, W2JEK. Just a reminder that tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, at the Westwood Regional High School, Barrow will be running a VE test session. If anybody's coming, the test fee is $15. Exact change, please, if you get to it. And we will be giving all the tests, tech, general, and extra. And we'll be at the Westwood Regional High School, classroom 123. That's the room where faces the street toward the back of the parking lot. If anybody has any questions, please come now and I'll answer them. Back to net, W2JK.
You see, if Bob studies tonight, he can pass that test tomorrow night and go to the event on Saturday as a general. Right, Bob? KD2KDD? Anyway, you don't have to respond. I'm just calling you out just a little bit. Anyway, anybody else have any comments for Don?
Okay, Don, thank you very much. Any last remarks from you?
Yeah, one thing, there's a thing on the ARRL's website. You click, go in there, and then you click on exams. And then there's another one you click on, just what to bring to an exam session. And that tells you what kind of identification you need, et cetera. Also defines what a calculator is and what is not to be used as a calculator. Cell phones, iPods, and other devices are not allowed. It's just a device has to be just a calculator, not only a calculator, and we have to make sure that there's nothing stored in its memory. ID will be usually a photo ID, like a driver's license or a passport, or two forms of non-photo ID. So I guess that should cover it. Back to that, W2JEK.
Okay, Don, very good. Thank you very much. Any questions for Don about what he just added as his coda? Okay, very good. By the way, I'm on, Soldier Hill Road by the cemetery. It is so nice now that I've paved it. Oh, my Lord, it's lovely. No longer like driving the Burma Road. Anyway, of course, I just entered Paramus, and it's more like the Burma Road. But the Westwood side's very nice. Anyway. Ah, dear me. Okay. You know what? Let me take a hazard here. WE2R, Charlie, what was your comment?
I don't know if there's a lesson in this, but I was soldering something on my radio table a week ago, and I just sat down tonight and passed my hand over the soldering iron, found I forgot to unplug it, or I unplugged something, but not it. Luckily, nothing terrible happened. So I guess there's a warning. You shouldn't stay away from your soldering iron for too long. Anyway, this just happened. WE2R.
This safety tip brought to you by WE2R, the man who decided that he could run the risk of burning down his house, but through the grace of God, did not succeed.
Yeah, I should also add that there was a lot of paper lying around, too. Luckily, nothing happened.
Don't you have cats, too?
I have a cat, but she's afraid of coming up here. Too many things to get into trouble with.
You had this vision of a cat throwing paper into your hot soldering iron. You know the rest. Okay, very good. Well, anybody have any other, shall we say, ham radio-related safety horror stories they want to trade at this time before we go to our questions? Okay, what's that? W2TTT timeout. Let's get on to them. Okay, first question or question set comes from KD2BKD, Mr. Bob, in Park Ridge, who, as you can tell, is a new ham and has questions, comments, confusions, and seeks to demystify some of his stuff. So, Bob, over to you, KD2BKD, W2TTT.
I have this old analog cell phone antenna. Looked up some frequencies. It should go from about 824 megahertz to 899 megahertz. The center frequency looks to be about 860. Looks like that would be a 35 centimeter band. Measuring the antenna, it's about a foot long, looks very similar to the kind of antennas you would buy for a dual band 2 meter, 70 centimeter. Trying to look at those photos and telling me how long they are. It should be a little longer. This particular antenna has a coil in the middle. I was wondering how difficult you think this would be to convert to a 2-meter, 70-centimeter antenna.
Okay, so is this like a mag mount that you stick on your house, or is this something that screws into the top of your phone? What is this?
This is a magnetic car antenna, which I bought, I don't know, 20-plus years ago for my old analog cell phone. I'm just a new ham, but I've been into every possible electronic hobby besides ham radio, which I just got into, so I'm full of a lot of electronic stuff around.
Well, so it's got a little setter coil thing that maybe you could crack open and you could rewind and repurpose. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's actually an open coil design. It looks to be about 3.5 turns. It looks to be about 3/4 of an inch in diameter, and the coil looks to be about 1.25 inches long. That sits approximately 3 to 4 inches above the base, and then from the top of that external coil, it goes up maybe another 8 or 9 inches.
Well, it sounds to me like you're going to need some place where you can wind the coil. So, do you think that center? You're going to need to make it longer. Obviously, that's the key point here. So, is there any part in the geometry where you think you might have a chance of making that longer?
I can unscrew the base from the antenna. Now that base of the antenna is 1/2 inch in diameter. I could get some 1/2 inch in diameter aluminum tubing, about 5 inches long or so, and then it would be that much longer. That's what I'm estimating to be the length of a antenna similar to this that would be 2-meter band.
Yeah, I think I think your biggest challenge is going to be that you've got that loaded section, that inch and so on, loaded section in the middle. I think the ideal thing, I mean, you can certainly load, you know, make it taller from the bottom and mess with that. If you can get into that middle section, that might be another strategy to consider as well. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Who am I with a thought?
Yeah, station is St. Gordon.
This is K2AMI with a thought about possible.
Go right ahead, Tony.
I don't know how brittle that coil is or how brittle the antenna is, but it would be my thought to attempt to unwind that coil to a certain extent, and hopefully that would extend the length, and you at least get the 2-meter band possibly out of it. Depends upon how many turns went around in a circle, but that would be a way of extending the length of the antenna and maybe coming up with just a quarter wave antenna. Unwind it to see what length you've accomplished. I don't know if there's enough material there. Do you think that might work, Gordon?
Yeah, very well might. So let me ask a question, Bob. How long is the antenna when measured linearly from the base to the top?
I just measured it to be 13 inches from the tip of the antenna to the base of the magnet mount.
Okay, so we got a couple of things. So if you can add in a little bit to the middle, that air-wound coil in the middle is a little short. You need to add about 6 inches to the length of that. Could you make the center coil electrically 6 inches longer?
would say that the coil, if you uncoil this, it's not really going to be too nice looking. It looks like it's been nicely manufactured in that particular arrangement by putting an additional 5 inches to the base, like offsetting the base with a piece of 1/2 inch diameter aluminum. Would that do it? Is that coil... What if you leave that coil in there?
Yeah, what you may have to do is you may essentially have to short what's in the middle and add the 6 inches to the or so to the bottom. Yeah, I think that's kind of the way to go.
Now, I've seen some of these designs of these antennas, which is very similar to this, to be both 2 meter and 70 centimeter, that has a coil that looks very similar to this, looking at the pictures. I would guess that they put that coil in there to stop that 70 centimeters from going to the top of the antenna, and the bottom of the antenna would be tuned for the 70 centimeters, and the full length of the antenna, the 2 meters, would pass through that coil, then therefore the whole antenna would be acting as a 2 meter antenna. But this is just my thoughts of what I can remember from school of 25 plus years ago.
That the ends of the antenna, I mean, yeah, you could certainly do that. You remember your waves, of course. Good for you. There, it's more likely in common amateur design to find a vertical antenna that would be a, let's say, a quarter wave over a half wave with the little phasing gizmachi, i.e. the coil in between. I think, you know, which would make both parts of the antenna active. I think as a starting point, you might want to try to just get it to be a quarter wave, electrical quarter wave on 2 meters. I think that should be your first stop. So if you can find a way to, without defacing the antenna too much, short out that coil in the middle and making that a linear element, and, you know, you have to unwind it, just short it, you know, as directly as possible. And then, as you suggest, putting some tubing in underneath, to start a little long, start maybe so that the overall length is like 19 and a half inches, 19 and three quarter inches, and just start trimming an eighth of an inch at a time with a SWR bridge or with an antenna analyzer. I think you'll find that to be a very productive initial strategy for repurposing the antenna.
That sounds good. I think if I go that route, I would just use this particular phase and make a new antenna that would be 2 meter quarter wave. Just measure that out. The other thing is to figure out how I could test for the resonance of this particular antenna. I heard today from another engineer that you could use some kind of a digital cable analyzer that analyzes the feedback or the reflection of a cable, and you could put an antenna to that and measure that reflection like it would be from an antenna. I'm not too sure about this. I have to research that some more.
No, using an antenna analyzer, an SWR bridge, or a TDR.
I have to talk to this longtime ham guy I have at work. I wanted to speak to him before I left, but he was busy with somebody else. He's a very long time, been a brilliant RF engineer. He does a lot of our high-speed video switching design. He would know this. I'd like to show him this antenna and see what kind of gadgetry we have at work to be able to test and figure this out and even learn something out of it.
Sure, absolutely. I'd be curious as to what his call is, too, by the way. If you know his last name and the town he lives in, we can find that, you know, using QRZ, too. That's the, or the FCC database. There's a couple of ways to do it. But very good. Anybody else have any comments for Bob on repurposing his cell antenna from 1,000 years ago?
B2JK.
Don?
Yeah, I was going to say, just, if you could just attach, run a, get a 19-inch length of welding rod, and just attach it to the existing antenna, run it right through the coil down to the base and attach it there electrically, and also up at the top top of the antenna, maybe that way you've got a, actually your rod would be the welding rod or whatever would be the antenna, and the existing structure would be supporting it. The one thing I had to thought on this is that being a mobile antenna, it's going to be buffeted by the winds and whatever, and you may want to if you can't get it physically solid and sturdy, you're probably better off just to get another antenna that's made exactly for the job, because I think the way that antenna is now, that is a phasing, that coil is not a trap, it's a phasing section, so that you have a gain antenna for when you're using it as a cell phone. But when you run a 440 antenna, it's a different kind of fish, and you get the thing adjusted right so that you'd have a dual band antenna with, you'd have you're pulling your hair out with it, I think. It's probably just the best idea to try to get it as a 2 meter quarter wave. Back in that W2JK.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. But you know, if Bob basically loads it up with a sturdy piece of aluminum tubing or rod stock that he mills to match the base and the aperture for the existing antenna, he could conceivably lengthen it without compromising the mechanical stability. One thing I caution you, Bob, about totally trashing the antenna, oddly enough, is that Alinco is coming out, and again, I don't know the price range yet, but I've heard that Alinco will be announcing, or introducing at Dayton, a 222 and 900 meg HT, a dual band HT, 220-900. So those are two orphan bands that they're going to be a radio dedicated to two orphan bands, bang for the buck kind of stuff. Once again, Alinco comes to the rescue. And if that works out, by the way, they'll probably start producing, in addition to their 220 monobander, they'll probably start producing a 900 meg monobander, or maybe a dual bander 220-900, the way they do a 2 meter 440. So you may have a purpose for that antenna and end up taking the cutters to it to shorten the sucker up in the future. So don't go too crazy on that. You may have a leg up on something very cool.
Okay, Gordon. Thanks for that information. I'm just trying to save maybe $25 or so, which, you know, I try to do here and there. And by the way, the call sign of that ham his call sign is A-Alpha-2-S-Y. That's it. That's one. Once again, I believe it's A-2-S-Y.
No, I think it's either got to be W-A-2-S-Y or something like that. You can't, call signs in the United States can't start with A and go immediately to a number. That doesn't happen. That's another country's prefix.
Okay, now I believe he originally received his ham license in South America, and I believe it was in Argentina.
I don't think any A2s with any other letter or number after it are South American in nature, but I could be wrong, fascinating. We will find out in good time. Why don't you clarify that call sign, though? Sounds good. Any more for Bob? Any other suggestions? Any more from you, Bob, before we move on?
No, I'm happy. Sounds good. I'll see what I could do with this. Maybe I'll put it in through some RF testing at work and see what the reflections are. See what I could do with it. Maybe modify it. Maybe buy something else at the ham fest. I'll see what happens in the future.
If you have the ability to mill metal, get rod stock stouter than what you need, and mill it to match that, probably spend a ton of time doing it, but boy, you know, a work of art, and that might be fun. Alrighty, well, thank you very much, and one more announcement here before we're going to go to the next question in a second, but I just want to make an announcement that the Northwest District, I forget what they're actually called, or the Northern New Jersey Council, the Scouts, looking for ham radio operators on Saturday morning about 7:30 up at Shepherd's Lake in Ringwood. And if you're interested in helping out with providing scoring and that kind of communications, you know, safety communications for the day on Saturday, please email me, W2TangoTangoTango@ARRL.net, Whiskey2TangoTangoTango@ARRL.net, and what I will do is I'll put you in touch with John, KC2OII, who is looking for more volunteers. He asked me to put that word out. If you don't have a radio or don't have a suitable portable radio, not to worry. All you need to do is volunteer and show up, and the rest is easy. But the only thing I think you might need to do is bring your own food this year. Bring food and beverages and dress for the weather. It's a long day, but we're done about 3:30. So if anyone's interested, please shoot me an email or call me after the net. I'll be here. Okie dokie. Before we go on to Ted's question, are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call KQBARW2TTT. All right, Mr. Ed, KD2ABC in Huntington, New York. This is... Go ahead, your question.
Good evening, Gordon. W2TTT's KD2ABC. Okay, my question is concerning off-center fed dipoles pretty much along the Buckmaster line. I'm setting one up, and according to everything I've read, you need a 4-to-1 balun. Okay, so I'm winding a 4-to-1 balun. I have 9 turns. It's a single core balun. 9 turns on each side, wired appropriately. And I said, you know, let me do some testing on this. So what I did was, on the input side, I hooked up a signal generator. I have a signal generator that goes up to 80 megahertz and a dual trace scope on the other end. The other end is terminated with 2 100-ohm resistors. Okay. The 200-ohm resistors are grounded in the middle, and I'm measuring the output on a dual-trace oscilloscope, and for some reason, I'm seeing an imbalance in voltage out, and I'm wondering if you could shed any light on that as to why I would see a voltage imbalance.
Is your output of your signal generator balanced or imbalanced line?
Well, the balun has taken a single input, a single unbalanced input, and a single balanced input, and converting it, the 4-to-1 goes to a balanced output.
I got that. Well, a couple of things come to mind. One is you have cross coupling right across the top of your balun, and it's just, you know, you've got going right across the top, and you're not getting any
it's, should we say, diluting the effect of the balun. That might be one, due to lack of shielding, all of that happy nonsense. I'm just trying to think what else could be afoot here. Those are the things that come to mind. Your scope, so you're moving your scope probe from one side to the other on the side where you have the two resistors and you're comparing the two readings, or using a dual trace scope and you're taking them at the same time. And if you are using a dual trace scope and you're seeing a differential measurement on each channel, have you flipped channels to see if the problem moves?
Okay, it's a dual trace scope, and what I did was I calibrated both probes. It, the two probes are identical. I calibrated them both, and I'm seeing a differential voltage. And when I flip the probes, the differential moves to the opposite channel.
Okay. So the problem stays with the device under test and doesn't move with the equipment testing it.
Okay.
I'm thinking that you have some coupling from the primary side of that balun straight across. I'm going to throw it to K2ZO to see if he has any thoughts on this. And I also know he has an opinion that might save you a lot of aggravation. K2ZO, K2VAR.
Okay, K2VAR. This is K2ZO. People have written books about this. As you probably have seen, the ARRL library has a number of them. I guess what you're doing, by the way, this is Jim. I guess what you're doing is attempting to evaluate that balun by putting a signal in and then taking a look at the output across 200 ohms with the center of that 200 ohm fixture to ground. So theoretically, you should see the same voltage on either side. Not always the case. It depends on the number of turns, depends on the frequency. Do you have any frequency at which you see that the same?
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to repeat your call sign later. But Jim, yes, I do. Actually, what I did was I swept the frequency from 1.8 megahertz to about 32 megahertz. And at 1.8, the differential is really large. It starts to even out at about 10 to 14 and stays fairly consistent up to about 28 where the differential starts to occur again.
Bingo.
Yeah, well, it's working fine. It's just that it doesn't have the range that... and of course, you'll find this even on commercial balance. What is the material that you're using for the core?
The core is Amidon FT240K. It's wound with 9 turns each side, number 14 with Teflon sleeving on the number 14.
Well, I can tell you from experience, 9 turns is not enough for 80 or 160. However, it probably is going to work fine on the other bands. My guess is go ahead and use it. Remember, you know, you're feeding an off-center fed antenna anyway. And, of course, the real answer is to use a current balun, a 4-to-1 current balun. And a current balun forces the current to be the same in each leg. You don't care what the impedance is because of the way it's constructed. And a current balun you could build with two cores with two parallel wires in series at the top and in parallel at the bottom.
Okay, very good. That was my next question. Now, the winding instructions claim that this was a current balun, and for lack of having a better idea on how to measure the current, I decided to measure the voltage and figured that the voltage, you know, the current would follow the voltage.
Explain to me the windings. Are there three windings and then cross-connected?
There are actually two sets of parallel windings wound on 180 degrees of the core. At one end, they are connected in parallel. One is wound clockwise, the other is wound counterclockwise. And basically, if you were to wind the wire all the way around the core, it would be the same direction of wind. At one end of the core, they're connected in parallel. The other end of the core, there are two legs which split off to the 200 ohm resistors, and then the other two legs are connected together.
Okay, so you do indeed have a current type balance, right? So basically what you have is two approximately 100 ohm balance with the two parallel pieces of wire having impedance approximately 100 ohms, the mean between the two. And that works. Now, I have built them that way, and I've never felt that they were really all giving me what they were supposed to, but they did work. The best 4-to-1 balun that I ever built was two pieces of hard-to-find 100-ohm coax with about 20 ferrite beads. In other words, a sleeve and in parallel at the top, at the bottom, and, of course, in series at the top. 4-to-1, and we use that on field A antenna. Worked like a charm. And the way I evaluated that one, that was a center-fed antenna. And the way I evaluated that one was to put an RF ammeter in each leg, not to worry about voltage or anything like that. And it was remarkably good over a number of frequencies.
When you tested that, was it connected to the antenna, or did you have a resistor on the end of it?
A resistor. We actually tested it in actual use on the antenna.
Oh, very good. I guess one more question before we let it go. I've seen some double cord designs. Do you get a better frequency response out of the double cord design?
Well, that's what W2FMI says. And as a matter of fact, I have two cores here, which are similar to your 240, that I'm going to wind one on and see how it works. But I'm considering a lot more turns than you've got, and see how it goes. The thing is that you're still going to have some imbalance with that off-center fed antenna, depending on the feed line you have. Of course, what you're trying to do is build something different than what I have. My off-center fed antennas are very light, used for field day and stuff like that, fed with 300 ohm kilowatt twin lead, off-center fed both either an 80 or a 40, and fed with like 40, 50 feet of feed line. And down at the bottom, I put the balun. And what I found is, since I do use an antenna tuner, that the 1-to-1 balun, the choke balun, works as well as anything else. I just make up the difference in the antenna tuner. We've been making these tests, and I've been reporting them here at night on this net to the guys. But that's one of the things I can tell you. Of course, you know, you've got a different ball game. Did you buy this antenna already?
No, that's a negative. Actually, I had some old insulators, and I have a good amount of number 10 and number 12 stranded wire, and I got all this stuff, and I said, geez, let me try this and see what happens. So I bought a balun kit, and I bought an extra core with it, because I was kind of iffy as far as the design. And, you know, now looking at, you know, what's happening with the frequency response, I'm going to try and rewind it on two cores and see what happens. But basically, I was just trying to get away without an antenna tuner.
Well, my experience in using that type of antenna with a balun and with coax, and other people have verified it, is that you will not get away without using an antenna tuner. It's kind of like a G5RV. It says one thing, but in reality, other things happen. You're really going to have to use an antenna tuner unless you very, very carefully. And then you'll get it to work on a couple of bands, and then maybe not another one. But that's basically my comments. And if you do have an antenna tuner, just make the antenna, feed it with a kilowatt twin lead, bring the feed line in, put the balun on the window, bring coax in and tune it, and it works fine.
All right, let me, my setup is with my antenna, where it comes out. I'm in the basement, and where my antenna comes out is behind my garage, which is about 130-foot run, which I have a 130-foot run of RG8U. So I would be terminating it with that. Can you still do it with that length of a run of RG8?
Well, you could, but I wouldn't. Remember now, if you're going to do what I was just suggesting, is you're going to have some high SWR in that feed line, that 50-ohm feed line. And running high SWR on the higher frequencies is kind of lossy. If you look at the chart in the handbook, what you'll see is there's an additional loss due to SWR. There's an additional loss, of course, the initial loss due to the material itself. But if you take a look in the antenna book, you'll see what I'm talking about, where it says the additional loss due to SWR. And if you go to high frequencies, you'll see that. I don't know. Most of the people that have fooled with that antenna have scratched their heads and have always seemed to have a couple of bands where it just isn't good. And if you get it working on one, it doesn't work on the other too well. So that's kind of my comments. I'm very happy with this antenna. I made it as a portable antenna, worked fine. I lost the 40-meter antenna during a storm, so I put this thing up here just kind of as temporary, and I'm just delighted to see how well it works. And it works as good as any 40-meter antenna I've ever had. And, of course, the nice thing is that it easily, because you don't have any wild impedances, loads up on all the other bands.
What is the size of that antenna?
Well, the 40-meter one is 45 foot on one side and 22.5 feet on the other side. And it's fed with 300-ohm kilowatt twin lead that I got from the wire man.
All right, Jim, very good. I appreciate your input. This is KD2ADC back to net. Thanks, Gordon.
Thank you, Ed. Boy, we've got two new guys on the net here tonight. Both asking some pretty cool questions, both new hams, and clearly not coming out of cluelessness. That's kind of interesting. I know many a seasoned ham who wouldn't be taking on the projects that each of you are embarking on. I have a follow-up question to Jim. If I were to set it up as a V with the feed point basically have the OCF wire one-to-one balun at the feed point and then come out and feed it with coax at the feed point and then let the tuner sort out whatever it is, would that be acceptable? Would I be better off if I'm going to do that using a four-to-one balun at the feed point? Because I could set it up like an inverted V. But if I'm going to do a 40-meter one anyway, or I mean an 80-meter one, I'm going to need to make it like an inverted V just because of space issues. But can I use a 1-to-1 balun or a 4-to-1 balun at the feed point and then feed the whole mess with coax and sort out the bodies with a tuner?
Well, yeah, you could. You just got to remember that with any antenna like that, as you move on other frequencies, you can get some really wild impedances. And you just don't want to run coax with a real high SWR. On 80, it's fine. 40 doesn't really make much difference. But on 10 and 15 and 6 and stuff like that, high SWR, the loss can be significant. A couple of dB on 80 meters or 40 meters doesn't mean beans. But when you get up to the point where it's 8 or 9 dB, then it starts making a difference. That's why I use the open wire line, which is lossless. Bring it in close to the house to the open wire line, and then just live with it a little bit SWR the short distance over to the rig. That seems to work very well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the issues were that I can't put up an 80-meter dipole, but I can put up an 80-meter OCF because of the geometry. The problem then is it's on top of a mast,